The Bible makes it very clear that God created man with a purpose. Man is valuable. And when you start studying God's creation, you realize that everything in nature has a purpose. Small plants, small animals, big animals, the different parts of our bodies, the planets, the satellites, the natural elements like the wind, the heat, the water, light, dirt. God has made all these things with a purpose. The tendency of man, a sinful man, is to suppress the knowledge of God. And when man erases God from the worldview, his worldview, he loses God, but he also loses more than God. He loses his own value, and he also loses his purpose in life. We don't like to have restrictions. From a very early age, we scream and fight against those who want to put restrictions on us. We have different babies at home, and when someone takes something that is there, they can't talk, but they will let you know, you won't take that away from me. Ah! And they scream big. Because we don't like to be restricted. We don't like to be put rules on. We want to do what we like to do. We don't want anyone to interfere with our lives. And that includes God. The problem with suppressing God's knowledge in our lives is that it leads to selfishness, then emptiness, and finally it leads to despair. Instead of being a product of God's creation, I'm just a product of randomness. On the other hand, if God has given you spiritual insight and you have recognized that you were created, then you will also realize that you are accountable to your Creator and that He has the right to put restrictions on you, tell you what to do. The more you get to know your Creator, the more you realize that those restrictions are for your benefit, and also they are for the benefit of those people around you. Another thing we must realize is that God will accomplish His purposes in His people. The plans that God has for His people, and if you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you are now part of the people of God. The plans that He has for you are not just for this, your time here on earth. His plans are eternal. Basically, your time on earth is just a little part of the plans that He has for you. The time in eternity, of course, is much longer than the time that we spend here on earth. And His plans and purposes are eternal. They continue into His kingdom. And God makes this clear in the book of Romans. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Of course, to love God, you need to know who God is. To those who are called according to His plan or purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also gave them a destiny. He gave them a purpose. Predestined, it gives you a destination. And the destination He has given us is to become like the Lord Jesus Christ, conformed to the image of His Son, that He may be the firstborn among many brethren, or the one who has the first right. Moreover, He predestined those who He predestined, He also called whom those who He called, He also justified, and those whom He justified, He also glorified. Now, we are not in our state of glory. We are not in the image of Jesus Christ. However, God's purpose for us is to bring us to a state of glory, to a state of exaltation. And as we have this thought in my mind, I want to look at the story of Joseph, because it is a great example of what God has planned for the future of believers. Even though it is a life where there was suffering and slavery and fighting with the consequences of sin in people's lives, nevertheless, God brought Joseph out of the prison, out of the pit, to fulfill His plan that He had for him. God exalted Joseph. That was the plan that He had for his life here on earth. He let him know early in life through dreams what was going to happen in his life, that he was going to receive honor from his relatives. He didn't know he was going to receive honor from many other people. And the life of Joseph is an example of the work of God in a believer's life. Things may not always go easily, but God will accomplish His purpose and work out His plans in His people. So please turn your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 40, and we're going to try to look at chapters 40 and 41. The first thing is, as we look at the story of Joseph, we need to learn that we shouldn't lose confidence in God. Because since God is our maker, He has a purpose for our lives, not only here, but even in the future. He has a purpose for you to be part of the kingdom of the Messiah. The Messiah can't have a kingdom without people. And God wants you to be one of the people who will glorify God throughout eternity, plus do many other things, actually enjoy creation the way that God meant it to be in the first place. Sometimes we feel that our problems are so much that we feel, well, if God really cares for me and has a purpose for me, why is this happening to me? And that's something that happened to Joseph during these 13 years of life, and it wasn't easy for him. But in the meantime, we shouldn't lose confidence in God and just keep our focus on the right things. The exaltation of Joseph, as we're going to look at today, it happened really fast. It's not something that little by little Joseph became better and better and better. No, Joseph was a follower of God, constant in his faith. Regardless of the circumstances, he was not going to sin against God, because sin in his mind and in his own eyes, it was something really great. How can I commit this great sin against God? So while things were going bad, he was faithful in his commitment to God. And suddenly, when the exaltation came, it just happened really, really fast. So let's look what happened. How did the exaltation come? We're looking at the last section of the book of Genesis on the life of Joseph. When he was 17, he had two dreams where he saw his family basically giving honor to him. They were no ordinary dreams. However, he knew that they came from God, and he just went and, in his naivety, told it to his brothers, who didn't like him very much, and then that just made it worse. And his brothers attempted to kill him, but instead they sold him to a group of merchants who took him to Egypt. And in Egypt he was bought by the captain of the guard, a man named Potiphar. Now remember that title, the captain of the guard, because he's going to be in our story today. God was with Joseph, and God prospered Joseph's work. However, his master's wife laid her eyes on Joseph, and after a continual refusal of Joseph to break God's law, he was falsely accused, and then his master sent him to prison. And that's where our story begins. So from Joseph's life, we know that as we deal with different circumstances in our lives, we shouldn't lose confidence in God, because God has given you a special task to fulfill. And in fact, in this story, not only Joseph has a special task to fulfill, a butler and a baker also have a special task to fulfill in God's program. The baker and the butler, or cupbearer, had sinned against Pharaoh. Let's read verse 1. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord. And they were offended there if they sinned against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. And the captain of the guard is Potiphar. So the prison where Joseph was part of Potiphar's work or work description. He was in charge of that prison. Of course, he had another man taking care of the prisoners, but ultimately it was his prison. And for some reason, he just put Joseph there. Without much of a trial, he just took him away from his house after he was accused of trying to attack his wife, and just put him in that jail that belonged to him. So they put those two men in custody of the captain of the guard for Potiphar in the prison, the place where Joseph also was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them. And Joseph served them. Even though Joseph was in charge of what was going in the prison, he didn't make those people serve him. He actually was a servant to other people. And notice that even though Joseph could have harbored bitterness in his heart because of what had happened to him, he was not focusing himself and thinking about the self-pity, oh poor me, all the things that have happened to me and things are just getting worse. But he actually was focusing in his work and about how he could serve other people. How could he be of help to other people? Even though he was going through a very hard time, his focus was not on himself, it was actually on those people around him. So he served them, and they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. So then one day, as Joseph is serving them, maybe bringing them food or whatever need they had, they have a dream. And the first thing that Joseph comes, he notices their faces. And he came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. They were worried about something. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today? I'm the one supposed to be sad. You're not supposed to be sad." But he is just concerned about them. He's showing concern about them, true concern. And Joseph, so they answered to him and said, We each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." So he let them know that there is a way to get an interpretation for the dream. And interpretations belong to God. He didn't take the credit. Oh, I can give you the interpretation of this dream. But he also knew that God had the ability to reveal interpretations of dreams to people. So he tells him finally his dream. He said, "Behold, in my dream there was a vine. There was a great plant, a vine. And in the vine there were three branches. And while he was dreaming, suddenly it budded. And then the blossoms produced clusters. And the clusters brought four ripe grapes." So everything happened in his dream really, really fast. He was dreaming, clusters, three branches. Well, first the branches, the blossoms, the clusters, the grapes. Then the grapes ripen, and then he grabs the grapes and he squeezes them and he gets juice and he pours it into the cup of Pharaoh. So I think his job, just besides being called a butler, his job was being the cup bearer, which basically they protect the king from being poisoned by any food or drink. They have to taste it first, and then the king will drink or eat. And he said, so he pours them into Pharaoh's cup and place the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And if you're very familiar with the story, like I think you are, you said, oh, that's very easy to interpret. Those three branches are 3 days, and you know the interpretation of it. But then if you start thinking about it, those three branches, that's the only number we get, besides one vine and three branches. Well, how do we not know that those three branches were 3 months? In 3 months, you're going to be released. Or 3 years. 3 decades. Three soldiers will take you out of here. God gave the exact meaning of the dream to Joseph. And Joseph was so confident because he gave 3 days. And in 3 days you would know if it was his interpretation was correct or not. I don't know if Joseph was waiting for those 3 days. I hope someone comes and gets them in 3 days. But I think Joseph was quite confident that the interpretation he had was from God, and he just gives it. This is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. And then Joseph, even though he knows God has plans for him, Joseph knows, I don't think my dream about everybody bowing down to me was for me being in jail. I think God has another purpose for me. Even though it has been 13 years and so far there is nothing that seems to be fulfilling his dream, he is not really passively expecting that dream to come true. He actually is going to take some steps. He's like, if you can get me out of jail, why don't you talk to the king about me? It might not work. So he has a request for the butler. Remember me when it's well with you, and please show your kindness to me, your chesed. And I make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews. The word there, stolen, when it's used of a people, is used of kidnapping. And the penalty for kidnapping, that's what his brothers did to him, was the death penalty. That's what the law of Moses said. If someone kidnaps someone, that person should be put to death. Someone steals a person. So he said, I was stolen. And now, look, he has enough problems that he could commiserate about himself. I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon, into this pit, into this hole. Then when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, oh, I was also in my dream, and there were also three baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. So this is what he used to do. He prepared Pharaoh's food. And everything that Pharaoh ate, he baked it. And he got it together. And in the top basket, there were all kinds of good food for Pharaoh to eat. The only problem was that the birds ate them out of the basket of my head. And Joseph, even though the message was not a message of hope, he just spoke the whole counsel of God. He said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days, and within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you. Actually, the Hebrew says, will lift your head too. But he will hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. So he gives the interpretation, but still there is a chance that Joseph might be wrong, right? Especially if you are the baker. When we look at the men who received dreams in the scriptures that needed to be interpreted, most of those people, well, let's look at some people who received dreams in the scripture. I guess I want to bring out how important and how dreams work for God's people. Here's a list of people who received dreams. Abimelech, Abraham, Jacob, Laban. If you look, there were two Abimelechs who received dreams. But in the dreams, there wasn't something that they couldn't tell what it was. In fact, they heard God's voice. Oh, and there was a Pharaoh before that, where God came to him at nighttime and said, you have taken Sarah, and that woman has a husband. And the same thing happened with Abimelech and Sarah, and then with another Abimelech, and Rebecca, Isaac's wife. But in these dreams, there was nothing to be interpreted because God spoke directly what he wanted them to know. With Jacob, several times God came and Jacob said, I am the God of your father Abraham and Isaac. I'm going to take you to Laban's land and I'm going to bring you back. And Jacob understood what he said. There was no need of interpretation. Basically, the only four dreams where you need interpretation is these two, the butler and the baker, the Egyptian butler and baker. And notice that they are not from God's people. They are not Jewish. There is the dream of Pharaoh, which is in the next chapter. And then there is the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, where he says, actually he doesn't even remember what he sees. And then Daniel comes and he tells him about, you saw an image and the head was made out of gold, and he describes the image. Then we have Joseph in the New Testament. This is Joseph, the adopted father of Jesus, basically Mary's husband. God speaks to him in dreams, but he also tells him exactly what he needs to know. When God wants to talk to his people, he speaks. He doesn't just give you a dream that you have to guess what it is. And usually the people who practice divination, or I can't remember the special word, there's a special word for divination of dreams, knowing the meaning of dreams. Those who practice that were people from other countries, not from God's people. Even the wise men from the east had a dream, but in that dream was a specific command to them that they understood. No interpretation needed. Don't go back to Herod. Go home a different way. Pretty plain. They just did it. So, speaking with dreams that are hard to understand is not the common way of God speaking to his people. The way that God speaks to his people and has always done it is through language, through specific words, and that's the way that he speaks to us. We don't need to be looking for dreams or the meaning of our dreams, either to know the future or to know what God wants, because he has spoken it with words. So, only two people in the whole Old Testament had the ability to interpret dreams. One of them was Joseph, and the other one was Daniel. All the other dreams that are given were self-interpreted, or they were very clear that they need interpretation. When God wants us to know something, he will let us know. And when God doesn't want us to know something, he just keeps it. The secret things belong to the Lord, our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever. So the things that God has revealed, they are for us. God wanted us to know them, that we may do all the works of this law. But divination was forbidden by the law, not necessarily divination of dreams, but just divination and mediums and all that. They were supposed to be put to death because we need to trust in God. He gives us a purpose. He gives us the information that we need to fulfill that purpose. And then we just trust him. We need to trust God. Knowing the future can be scary. I always read this story and I just feel so bad for the poor baker. I'm sure that he just started thinking, this is going to come through in 3 days. And then the next day, only two. And then the next day, one day. And I don't know if he even knew the true God. At least Joseph said, there is a true God, and the interpretations are from that God. But think about another man. I think about another man who wanted to know the future. And he went to Endor, to a medium. And what did he find out? That he was going to die in a few hours. He went at nighttime, and the next day, during the battle, he knew he was going to die. So, that's why it's important to know that what God wants us to reveal is good, and that's what we need. And we're so glad of all the other things that he doesn't reveal to us. And we're glad that he is in charge of that. And the best thing that we can do is just trust that he revealed the best for us, and he has the best purpose in our life, even though we might be going through hard times like Joseph was. So Joseph did his duty and told him the meaning of those dreams, but it wasn't time for Joseph to get out yet. So it happened on the third day, verse 20, that it was Pharaoh's birthday, and he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker. See, he lifted both of their heads, but one was restored and the other one was put to death, just like Joseph had interpreted. Yet the chief butler didn't remember Joseph, but forgot him. Then you might think, the Bible, well, the writer, he seems in some ways like he's complaining. He should have gone and, he did the wrong thing. God uses our different personalities to do His purposes. God gave us different personalities, and we shouldn't be upset of the personalities we have. God, in His wisdom, and as I always admire, that He likes to make different things. He doesn't just make copies of everything, from snowflakes to plants to animals, even to people. They are not too, even identical to Him. Sometimes they are different. God likes variety, and He has made varieties in personalities too. And if this butler for God, Joseph, God was using that because it wasn't time for Joseph to get out yet. If he would have gotten out, they might have not have found him when Pharaoh had his dream 2 years later. It was still time for Joseph to stay there. And God used even the personality of this butler. So don't lose confidence in God. Things might go not as good as we like them, but God has given you special tasks to fulfill in this life and in the afterlife as part of His people. And God can give you the wisdom and understanding to accomplish that task. God is able to give you incredible understanding that you need for the cause that He wants. The other thing that He wanted Joseph to do was to save the whole nation of Egypt. We're not talking just from Joseph's perspective. Yes, God was going to save his family from famine, but actually the task that God gave Joseph was to save a whole nation and other nations around from dying in a famine. And that was what God had in work for him. So in chapter 41 we have that after 2 years Pharaoh had a dream, and he was standing by the river. And maybe you remember this dream from your Sunday school Bible stories. He saw seven cows by the river, and the cows were among the marshes. Cows, sometimes when they get hot, they like to get in the water. We used to live in a farm or close to a farm that had a little pond, and frequently those cows were the whole day standing in the pond the whole day. So these cows were in the river by the marshes, and they came up from the river, seven cows. They were fine looking, beautiful shape, fat, and they were feeding. And the word meadow there, you have King James, New King James, it actually does the word marshes or reeds. That's one. And because seven other cows came up of the river, ugly and gaunt, and they stood by the other ones, of course, and the ugly and gaunt cows ate up the seven fine-looking fat cows. I just picture this dream itself is probably very hard to picture, especially the next dream. So he woke up, he's like, how can a cow eat a cow? And there is a detail that is not given at the beginning. He's going to recount it in the same chapter. And the detail that is missing is that after the gaunt, ugly-looking cows ate the fat cows, they were still ugly-looking and gaunt. So he woke up, and then he fell asleep again. And the second dream comes. He sees a reed or a little planted, and suddenly seven heads of grain, or stalk, that's what it is, a stalk with seven heads of grain. Beautiful heads of grain. And sometimes people used to go through the fields, like in the New Testament we have the disciples going through the fields, and they would grab the heads of grain and rub them in their hands, blow away all the chaff, and then have the grains and eat them right there. And suddenly there were other seven thin heads, blighted by the east wind, sprang up after them. What would happen sometimes, we don't have deserts close by Virginia, so, but if you live close by the desert, the air can get really hot, and sometimes they say that the hot air from the desert would come to Palestine or Egypt, and it would just dry the plants, because it would blow for 2 or 3 days in a row, very, very hot heat, and it would dry up the plants. So the one that he's seeing is this blighted by the east wind, thin heads of grain. And how can you see in a dream Because now even with cartoons and all that, it's a little easier to picture. But how can you actually see one swallowing the other one? Only Pharaoh could see that. And God was creating that in his mind. But Pharaoh walked again. And of course he went and told all his magicians and people who were trained on interpreting dreams, which... And finally, the chief butler spoke to Pharaoh. It's his personality. He first listened, and then he waited to see what the other people would say. He probably was a quiet personality, don't like to confront. Thank you, Pharaoh, for getting me out. But now, since Pharaoh was upset, his spirit was upset, and no one could give him an answer, finally he decides to speak. Okay. When Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me in custody in the house of the captain, both me and the chief baker, we each had a dream, and each of us dreamed according to the interpretation of his own dream, and there was a young Hebrew man there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard of Potiphar. And we told him, and he interpreted dreams for us. To each man he interprets according to his own dream, and it came to pass just as he interpreted for us, so it happened. And he restored me to my office, and he hanged him. So notice how fast the change is going to happen in Joseph's life. Sometimes God likes to do things really, really fast. And what is going to happen? Pharaoh said, bring that man to me. And they brought him quickly. In fact, the word brought him quickly is not the word brought him. It's actually the word run. They run him out of that pit, of that hole. That jail was... It's a house of roundness. So I imagine it was a round jail. But I also imagine that it was deep in the ground so people couldn't escape. So they probably dug it down like a pit that was round, and they just put the prisoners there and they just lived down there. So they got him out of... They ran him out of the pit. And the other thing that you're going to see is that they shaved him. As far as we know, Hebrew people, and I don't know about Jacob, at that time it was just a family, they didn't shave. This was an Egyptian custom. But in order for Joseph to be able to serve or minister to these people, he had to shave. And he might have been shaving the whole time since he was in service. But so they shaved him, and then they gave him new clothes, and they brought him to Pharaoh right away. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I've heard it said of you that you can understand a dream, or you can hear a dream and understand it and interpret it. And notice that this is not what Joseph did for a living. He was just a servant. He only did it twice, but now his fame is big. I've heard that you can just hear it and tell what it means. And Joseph could have just taken the credit. Yeah, that's right. I can do that for you. But instead, he brought again the credit to God. He said, it is not in me to understand a dream, but God will give Pharaoh an answer that will give him peace. God can give peace to whatever trouble your soul has. In this case, it was just a dream. But God brings peace to anybody. And that's the word shalom. God can bring shalom to Pharaoh. So Pharaoh tells his dream, verses 17 to 24. And Joseph tells him, the two dreams of Pharaoh are one. Verse 25. God has shown to Pharaoh what he's about to do. He said, and again, the seven, there is a number seven there. Is that months? Years? Decades? Of course, we grew up with it. We know that the seven is 7 years. There is going to be 7 days of abundance, of plenty, and there is going to be 7 days, not 7 days, 7 years of famine. And this is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh, and God has shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come throughout the land of Egypt, but after them, a famine will arise, and all the plenty will be but forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will consume, deplete the land. And the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following, for it will be severe. And the dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice, because the thing is established by God, and God will surely bring it to pass. So this famine was established by God. Notice that they could have prayed for God, please God, don't send this famine. But he said, you got the dream twice because God is going to do it. But then at the same time, what does he think? How many dreams did Joseph had about being honored by his family? First he dreamed about the sheaves, and then he dreamed about the stars, moon, and he said two dreams is because God has established that, he has fixed it, and he's going to bring it to pass. And then this same dream, just interpreting it, it was probably of comfort to Joseph. So this is going to happen because God gave it to me twice. I'm not sure he had many details about that. The only thing he remembers is the moon and the stars bowing to him, and then the sheep bowing to his sheep. But at least he knew that because God had given it twice, it was going to happen. He didn't know how, he didn't know when, or anything. But at least he tells Pharaoh, that's going to happen. God has established it. God will bring it to pass. So, Pharaoh, what you should do, choose an understanding and wise man, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Choose and appoint officers over the land to collect 20% of the produce of the land in the 7 plentiful years, and then let them gather all the food of these good years and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh, and let them keep the food in the cities. And that food shall be a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which will be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish. So when the people who work for the government, the king and everybody, hear, you mean raise taxes to 20%? Oh yeah, let's do that. Everybody liked the advice. So they think that they probably were collecting about 10%. Well, he said, well, from now on, what I think you should do, Pharaoh, is just raise the taxes to 20%. And people will have plenty. But then you will be able to use that to save the land. And in fact, what Joseph is going to use that, this is a really Machiavellic plan. Because he's going to use the taxes that they're going to pay to buy their lands and their cattle, and then buy the whole nation as slaves of Pharaoh. And that's not in this chapter. But, I mean, Joseph had, when I was talking to Shul, he worked down in a Christian college a long time ago, and something he learned from his boss is that he was putting the Coke, he was filling up the Coke machines, and he was putting one at a time, like, no, that's not how you fill it. And then he said, you just take them and push them in there, and one of them just fell down and went, and then he's like, we're here to make money. We're not here to take care of the... That's something that he's saying. And I think Joseph would be someone like that. He understood what his job was. And that's why he was able to succeed leading the house of Potiphar. And then succeed in the Yale. And then he said, "This is if you have to do this plan to save the people, plus get some advantage from it, this is what needs to be done. And it has to be done this way, because if Pharaoh doesn't take that, the people are not going to save it. You have to do it, and this is the way that is going to happen." And wisdom in the Bible is not just knowledge. The Bible, one of the proverbs says, the fool has knowledge, but he doesn't know what to do with it. Wisdom in the Bible is, the first part you need knowledge, but the second part is you need to know what to do with that knowledge. And that wisdom comes from God. And that's why some people can have a lot of knowledge and be very smart, but if God doesn't open their eyes, they will not have the wisdom that comes from God. But Joseph received wisdom and understanding from God, not just for dreams, but for the task that he had at hand. He had the knowledge, and then he applied it. And you can think about your own profession, of what you do. A lot of people know a lot about what you do, but they are not able to put it together to actually do what you are doing. And a lot of that, that's wisdom. And then there is spiritual wisdom that God gives. And that's what Joseph received here. Spiritual, not just spiritual, but also for the job at hand. So Pharaoh put a foreigner, a Hebrew, in charge of everything because he realized, I think he, and this is just a 30-year-old man. It's not that this is this wise man that has had all this experience. This is a 30-year-old man, 7 years younger than I am. And he's putting him in charge of the whole country. And he has to actually go and tell in each town and choose men to oversee the job that he's going to do. It's not that he just sits in his office and says, this is what is going to be done. He actually has to go town to town and say, this is what we're going to do, and you're going to be in charge of doing this, and make sure that you're taking 20%, and make sure that if you don't have enough to keep that much grain, make sure that you're building next and you're having some of that tax sold to be able to build more places. He had to organize. It was a major operation in the whole country. But God had given him the ability to do it. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I have set you all over the land of Egypt. You shall be over my house, over all my people, and they will be ruled. Actually, all my people will kiss by your... How is it in the Hebrew? Shall be ruled according to your word, or will kiss by your mouth. In regard to the throne, or to reigning, to the power, only I will be greater than you. So, the exaltation of Joseph came. The last thing is, God has given you a special task. It doesn't matter where you're in your life. God has a task for you, and you would say, oh, well, now that Joseph's 7 years are over, or maybe that he has been exalted, that then his time is fulfilled. No, God still has plans for Joseph. In fact, even God has a plan for Joseph to direct his people on taking his bones out of Egypt. He's like, one day after I die, God is going to come. And the plan that God had in Joseph, just to let them know that he wanted his bones taken out, was to let them know that God is a God in whom you can trust. So God has a special task for you, even after death. God can give you the wisdom to accomplish the task, and God will bring comfort to your life. And the comfort that he brought him is he exalted him. And God has, as we saw in the first verse, Romans 8:28-30, he has planned to glorify us, to bring us to a state of exaltation, to make us like the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happened to Joseph? He was clothed in very fine garments. He got the king's ring. He put a gold chain around his neck. He had him riding the second chariot. And they cry out before him something. They're not sure it's bow the knee. It probably is bow the knee. It could be just his title. We don't know what they... Well, we know the word abreka, but abarek or something like that. But they're not very sure about the meaning of that word. And he set him over the whole land of Egypt. He gave him a wife. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And then he went out from his presence throughout the whole land. And it came to pass, the worst thing that could happen is that the dream didn't come true, that Joseph just blew it, and then there is not a lot of food, and well, the taxes would be nice, the 20%, or that the famine didn't come. But everything came, Joseph said, and there was so much food that it couldn't be counted. But the other thing that Joseph had is that Joseph had two sons before the famine, during those 7 years. One of them he called Manasseh, which means forgetting, because God had made me forget my toil and all of my father's house. And this, the name Manasseh tells you that the life of slavery for Joseph was not easy. He didn't like it. There is a psalm I think it describes a little more of what Joseph went through. Moreover, God called up for a famine in the land. He destroyed all the provisions of bread. He sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. They hurt his feet with fetters. He was laid in irons. On the time that his word came to pass, the word of the Lord tested him. The king sent and released him. The ruler of the people let him go free. He made him lord of his house and ruler of his possessions, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his elders wisdom. But part of it, part of being in jail, was not, or even being a slave and be taken bound down just to Egypt through the desert as a slave. It wasn't easy. But then he wrote, after God has glorified me, exalted me, I name my son Forgetting, because God has made me forget of that. And even the New Testament says that the sufferings of this world, there is nothing to be compared with the glory that is to come. And his other son was called Fruitful, Ephraim. Actually, it means double fruit. Because he said, God has made me fruitful in this land. And the fact that Joseph also shaved is probably that why his brothers didn't recognize him. Sorry, an extra thought there. So, God has plans of glory for us, if not here in His kingdom, to make us in the image of Christ. The life of Joseph also should remind us a lot of the life of Jesus Christ. We're in Christmas time, so I just want to list off some of the similarities between Joseph and Jesus. As we have looked at the life of Joseph so far, look how many similarities we can find. And some people have found more. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. And of course, Joseph started as a shepherd. Joseph was loved by his father. He was the son of his old age. And Jesus Christ was the only begotten son of God. That means the unique son of God, loved by the father. Joseph was sent unto his brethren. And to his own, according to the book of John, he came. To the Jewish people, he came. And he was hated by his brothers. Joseph prophesied his coming glory. He talked about the time where his family will bow down to him. Jesus also said, when the Son of Man will come in glory. He was rejected by his family, his people. He endured unjust punishment from his brothers. He was punished, and it was unjustly. He was sent into slavery, and of course Jesus Christ endured the cross, and it was unjustly. He was delivered to be punished, though a leader knew that he should go free. He knew that he didn't deserve to be there, but they still punished him. He was sold for pieces of silver, one for 30, one for 20. He was handed over to the Gentiles. Both of them went to Egypt. Both of them were made servants. Joseph by his brothers, and Jesus, he said, he took the form of a man, and the form of a man he humbled himself to the point of a servant. And then once in the form of a servant, to the point of death. He was tempted severely, but didn't sin. Of course, that doesn't mean that Joseph didn't sin. But when he was tempted severely with Potiphar's wife, he didn't sin. Both of them were falsely accused. Both of them made no defense. They both were cast into prisons, and they were counted with the sinners and criminals. Both of them endured unjust punishment from the Gentiles. And both of them were associated with two criminals. One was pardoned, one not. The butler was restored, was pardoned to his... The baker was not. Jesus Christ had two robbers on his side. One repented and said, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. The other one, we didn't have record of his repentance. Both of them showed compassion to people, like Joseph. Both of them brought a message of deliverance to prison. Both of them wanted to be remembered with the Lord's Supper. Remember me when you eat this bread. And Joseph said, please remember me when you go back to see the king. Both of them have divine wisdom. Both of them recognized as having the Spirit of God, betrayed by friends, glorified after his humility, and Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. Honor among the Gentiles was still despised or forgotten by his brethren. Giving a gentle bride was 30 years old when he began his life work, blessed the world with bread, and became the only source of bread for the world. In fact, anybody who wanted bread, after a while, they needed to come to Joseph. And the world was instructed to go to him and do what he asked you to do. At the very end, when the people were hungry, they came to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh told them, go to Joseph, and whatever he says to do, you do. When we need spiritual bread, go to Jesus, and whatever he says to do, you do. And this is the will of his Father, that you believe in me, whom the Father has sent. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made all this possible. We thank you that you have created us, that you have a purpose for our life, that you have given us spiritual understanding to know that, Lord, and that you have forgiven our sins and our rebelliousness in our heart, and you have saved us from a life of suppressing your knowledge and an empty life with no purpose in it, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you will help us to glorify you during this time, and thank you for my brothers and sisters. Help them to live the life that you have for them, Lord, in honoring you in everything, Lord. And Lord, I also pray that you help them through the different trials that they are going through, Lord, and remember that you are working in their lives and you have a purpose for them, and your will be done in their lives, and help them to focus on what you have brought to their hand to do, Lord. And thank you for the time we can spend in your word, and I'm praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.